We went to a ball game this week, Cubs versus Yankees, at Chicago's Wrigley Field, which is observing, no, celebrating, its 100th anniversary. Now, the Taj Mahal and the Great Pyramids are wonders of the world and older by a few centuries. But you can't get a Chicago dog with celery salt and hot peppers there. Speaking of ancient times, the Cubs haven't won a World Series since Roosevelt was president. Theodore Roosevelt, in 1908.
We're outside the park in front of the marquee, and you know, when my mother died last summer, the Cubs were kind enough to put her name up here. My grandfather, my father, my stepfather, my mother died without ever seeing the Cubs win a World Series here. And you know what? Now they're coming for me.
So over the years, the ballpark has become the club's marquee attraction, with its hand-cranked center field scoreboard, its red brick outfield walls clad in ivy, a pipe organ that belches melodies as players come to bat, and thickets of green seats nestled so close to the field, the shortstop looks like he's only a few spots down on the subway platform. Wrigley Field is a ballpark, not a superstadium, suspended in time from an era of Ty Cobb, Gaslights, and Brewskis. Crowds come early to watch batting practice and hope to catch a ball in the stands. We found Jim, a Yankee fan, so I guess I'd know why he'd want to conceal his last name, who brought his family to town for the game.
Right.
It holds the truth.
It's a tradition, and it holds baseball, what baseball's all about.
Oh, yeah, baby!
Some of the most ardent fans sit in the bleachers, where balls rain down during batting practice in a way the Cubs can rarely manage for actual games. A little boy named Jason from Fort Mason, Iowa, wore a Cub jersey and thumped his baseball mitt, caught a ball from a bat of a Cub, and got a player to sign.
What's special about Wrigley Field?
Everything.
Because the Cubs have never won a World Series in their century here, a lot of Wrigley Field's actual game memories are milestones for other teams, like Babe Ruth pointing to center field in 1932.
He pointed to the flagpole in the center field bleachers, plainly indicating that's where he means to park that next pitch. He did it! It's a home run!
That's almost certainly the way it did not happen, as shown in the 1948 film The Babe Ruth Story. The Supreme Court Justice John Paul Stephens was a little boy who was at that game. And he says today,
no, he definitely pointed. There's no doubt about the fact that he pointed out. There's a disagreement about the message that he was trying to convey.
Then there's Game 6 of the 2003 National League Championship Series, the Cubs just two outs away from reaching the World Series, when a good fan named Stephen Bartman reached for a foul ball before the Cub outfielder could catch it.
Right there.
And the Florida Marlins went on to win that year's World Series. So this week we sat in Stephen Bartman's seat.
Sitting in this seat, I kind of feel like I'm sitting on a deck chair of the Titanic.
But May 12, 1970, Ernie Banks, who was twice the National League's most valuable player, despite playing for the last place Cubs, approached the milestone of 500 home runs that only a few players have reached.
That's a fly ball, beat the left, back!
By the way, that's my godfather, Uncle Jack Brickhouse, with that home run call.
That's it! Hooray! He did it! Ernie Banks got number 500!
My daughter told me, before I came to the ballpark, Daddy, would you get this over so we can have some rest at home?
Oh.
So I told her, yes, Jan, I will do it.
Ernie Banks received the Presidential Medal of Freedom this year from President Obama, a White Sox fan. Over the years, Mr. Banks has become a national symbol of grace, good cheer, and the triumph of hope over experience. He would remind his teammates each day that whatever their disappointments, they played a game for a living and declared, it's a beautiful day for a ball game. Let's play two today. So we sat with Ernie Banks, who is now 83 and a dapper gent in a fedora, in the grandstands along the third base line.
It's an amazing place to me. You see the vines coming up, and you can see the fans who are sitting in the stands in front of you when you're at bat. I couldn't wake up fast enough in the morning. I just could not wait to get here.
Look, you're one of the greatest baseball players of all time. That being said, do you kind of wish you could have played in a World Series here?
My World Series, I mean, winning is a lot of fun. But the main thing in my life is making friends. After the game was over, I'd walk out of this ballpark and see kids waiting for autographs, and I would look in their faces, and I have met a lot of kids. They were 10 years old, now they're in their 60s, and they still talk about things that I did, things that I signed, and I love the winning part of it, but I really like the fact that I met some nice people in this ballpark.
When you get to be 100 years old, like Wrigley Field, almost every blade of grass or grain of dirt can have a story. My Auntie Marion's third husband was Charlie Grimm, the Cubs' old first baseman and manager. Quietly, his ashes were sprinkled along this first base line. Now, the Cubs don't like to talk about this because they don't want Wrigley Field to be awash with the ashes of deceased Cub fans. But if Derek Jeter flops on his derriere around first, he'll get up with a pocket full of Uncle Charlie. The ballpark is the Cubs' most potent attraction in victory and defeat, which, over a century, has mostly been defeat. But crowds keep coming. The appeal of Wrigley Field is almost impervious to wins and losses. Wrigley isn't retro. It's the original of what's become a much-imitated ballpark brand. But the team will make a raft of renovations, including an enormous video screen in left field to maximize ad revenue. Some fans worry that it might change Wrigley's character. This week it began to rain during the night game against the Yankees. People stayed in their seats. They talked, they cheered. They laughed in the rain and soaked in the character. Only a few people took off for the exits. What place could somebody have that's better to go than Wrigley Field?